Oh, beloved, did you go to the doctor and get a death sentence? Did they tell you that you had cancer? Did they tell you that you had Lou Gehrig's disease or Parkinson's? Did they tell you that your future was dim, that your days were limited? And how did you feel? Were you gripped by fear? Did hope flee out the window? Oh, precious one, I understand, but I want you to know you can have resurrection peace. We'll talk about it today. A sting. Death can grip us. I mean, just absolutely immobilize us if we don't understand what happens when we die. I want to talk to you today about resurrection peace. Resurrection peace that takes care of the sting of death. Resurrection peace that can take you through that doctor's appointment, that can take you through that seeming death sentence, so that you understand that because Jesus Christ has died on the cross, because he's been buried, but because he rose from the dead, you can have peace, because death is really not what it seems, or death is not the same for you as it is for others in the world if you know Jesus Christ. And I mean really know Jesus Christ. We need to understand what happened on that celebration, on that day when we celebrate Easter. Because we get dressed up, or we go to church, or we gather the family, we may hunt for Easter eggs, and we may have a gathering, and we may see friends and people that we haven't seen in a long time. But that's not what Easter is all about. Easter is all about peace. Peace with God. Peace within. Peace so that you can deal with your past. Peace so that you can go forward into the future. Peace for today. The resurrection and understanding the resurrection, beloved, brings peace to your heart. It brings peace, it brings calm, it brings confidence, and it means that you can find his peace in every and any situation of life, if you keep your mind screwed on straight, if you keep a sober mind, as it says. And a sober mind is a mind under control, so that you are not controlled by your circumstances, by the situations of life, by the relationships, but by the knowledge of what it means to belong to the one who said that he is the resurrection and the life, and that those that believe in him, though they were dead, yet would they live. And that those that believe in him, in a sense, will never die. And you never die, because the minute you believe in Jesus Christ, you pass from death to life. Well, if you and I are going to have peace, peace has to be based on truth. Peace comes from understanding truth. It comes from knowledge, from the knowledge of what God has to say about life and what God has to say about death. It comes from a knowledge of the understanding of why God had to send his son to be born of a virgin, to be tempted in all points as you and I are tempted, and yet without sin, to go to a cross where there he, Jesus, who knew no sin, was made to be sin for you and me. Then to be separated from the Father, to die, to descend into hell, and the third day to arise from the dead, never to die again. When you understand that, and that's what the purpose of this mini-series is on resurrection peace. So I say to you, woman, why are you weeping? Sir, why are you chewing on your tongue and trying to keep from weeping? Why is your heart aching? Why is your heart breaking? Don't you know? what resurrection peace is? Don't you know how to appropriate it? Don't you know how to live in the light of it? You heard, don't you know, don't you know, don't you know? If you're going to appropriate it, if you're going to live in the light of it, if you're going to have peace, then you have to have knowledge. And so this is what I want us to do. I want us to go into the Word of God. I want us to go back to John chapter 11. Now, in our last program in this series, what we did was we looked at John chapter 19. We looked at the account of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I want us to see what preceded that death and that resurrection. I want us to see and to understand how Jesus was preparing them for that time when he would go away and go back to the Father, but he would send the Holy Spirit. So we need to go back to John chapter 11. Now in John chapter 11, we have an account of the death of Lazarus. Lazarus was a very close, intimate friend of Jesus. He had two sisters. Their sisters' names were Mary and Martha. And if you've read the Gospels, then you know about Mary and Martha. And we know that Martha was hustling and bustling, and we know that Mary, instead of hustling and bustling when Jesus came to the house, would go and sit at the feet of Jesus. We know that Jesus had to rebuke Martha when Martha came to him and said, "Tell my sister to get up and help me." And he said, "Oh, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, only one. And Mary has chosen the better part. And the better part is to sit down, to sit at the feet of Jesus, and to learn what he says." Because he says, when you get this knowledge, when you get this truth, then it can never be taken away from you. So what you and I are doing is we are sitting down and we are going to sit at the feet of Jesus. We're going to listen to his word, which is absolute truth, and we're going to see what God has to say. Now, I want you to know that we have a website. That website is preceptsforlife.com, preceptsforlife.com, and you can go to that website and you can find out how to study the Bible. You can find out how to get study guides so that as we on this program go through the Bible and study it one book after another, you can study along with us. You can also find out how to come to training seminars all around the country where we teach people to discover truth for themselves, because it's knowledge, it's a lack of knowledge that is causing us to perish. It is knowledge of the truth that holds us in the midst of storms. Well, it says in John chapter 11, verse 1, "Now certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to him saying, 'Lord, behold, the one whom you love is sick.'" Is this what you've been saying to the Lord? "Lord, the one whom you love is sick. My wife is sick. I'm sick. My daughter's sick. My husband's sick. It's my friend, Lord, my very, very close friend. The one whom you love is sick." It's good to tell God. It's good to go and to pour out your heart to him and pour out your troubles to him and then listen. Now, what did Jesus send? What was the message that he sent back? He said this: "This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it." This is not going to end in death. Now, that's all they had. Lazarus was sick. They knew he was so sick he was going to die. They get this message back from Jesus. He's not going to die, but he does. But he does. So what do? You know he's sick. You send to Jesus because you know he's healed the sick. You know that he loves Lazarus, and yet Lazarus dies. What do you do? Do you look at the circumstances, or do you cling to the Word of God? Beloved, if you're going to experience resurrection peace, then you have to cling to the Word of God. You have to know that these are His precepts for life. And you have to cling to Him as the waistband clings to the waist of a man, as Jeremiah 13:11 says. Well, he dies. And it says in verse 17, so when Jesus came, he found out that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Jesus got there 4 days late. He's been in the ground. I mean, he's been in the tomb. They didn't dig graves. They put him in tombs and in stone things. And so it says, now Bethany was near Jerusalem. It was about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. And Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at the house. And Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Precious one, one of the things that you and I need to understand is that God is sovereign over death. He has numbered our days, Psalm 139, when as yet there is not one of them. He is the one that gives life, and He is the one that gives death. He's the Lord that does all these things. He says in Deuteronomy, I wound, I heal, I kill, I make alive. I am the Lord that does all these things. And so she thinks if he had been physically present, that he would not have died. And Jesus says, and she goes on to say, even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give to you. And Jesus said to her, Martha, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will arise in the resurrection on the last day. This is what God had told Daniel. This is what Daniel had recorded in the 12th chapter of his book, that he would raise them, some to life and some to contempt. And so she says, I know that. But then Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Let me read it again. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Did you hear that? He will live even if he dies. In other words, you're going to die, but you're going to live. It seems like an oxymoron. It doesn't fit. What is Jesus saying? Well, if you want resurrection peace, you need to understand, and we'll look at it in just a moment.
Jesus gave us the Great Commission.
He told us, go and make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you.
Go, make, teach. That sounds like meeting people and getting them into the Bible.
That sounds like inviting someone to your Precept Bible Study group.
Well, we released our Galatians Precept Upon Precept and In-N-Out Bible Studies last November. But one of the things we like to do is to see how we can increase participation in Bible study globally. We have people in a number of countries around the world who want to study with us. And so the Lord led us to decide, well, maybe we could have everybody around the world studying the book of Galatians at the same time, that they would be able to share around the world what that glorious book is doing in their lives. Visit precept.org/globalGalatians today.
Resurrection peace. It's our subject. And it's resurrection peace that takes the sting out of death. So that if you get a pronouncement of death from man, from the doctor, and you find out, hey, I only have so long to live, you need to answer the question that Jesus asked. It's in John chapter 11, and I want us to look at it one more time. And I want you to see it for yourself. It's in verse 25. And Jesus said to her, to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. She says, I know he'll be raised in the last day. And he says, no, Martha, I want you to understand, I'm the resurrection. I am the resurrection. It's not just a resurrection. I am the resurrection. And I am the life. In other words, if you want to be raised, if you want to conquer death, it's in me. If you want life, it's in me. I am the resurrection and I am the life. And he goes on to say, he who believes in me will live even if he dies. In other words, what God is saying to you is if you or a loved one gets a death sentence, if you die, if you believe in him, you will live. You will live. Have you got that? They're threatening your life. We have a ministry that ministers in 121 countries, in 67 languages. We have people day in and day out that face death. And they face death because many Muslims have said death to the heretic, and they consider a Jew and a Christian a heretic. And they see no problem with putting someone to death if he does not confess Allah. These people are living in the midst of people like that. They're living in the midst of governments that are atheistic governments that do not want their people to believe in God at all. And they threaten them and they persecute them and they torture them every day, not here in the United States yet. But every day we have people that are facing death. And the only way they can face death is to have that resurrection peace, beloved. That resurrection peace that believes that even if we die, we'll live. And it says, everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Everyone who lives and believes in me, I've got to say it again, listen, precious one, will never die. Now, what does that mean? I'm going to look at it after I ask you the question that Jesus asked. Do you believe this? Because if you believe this, then what you have is you have resurrection peace because you know the one who is the resurrection, who is the life, and because he is the life, and because you believed in him, and in believing in him, you're in him, and he's in you, then you will never die. Let's see what death does to a person. Because you see, what's happening in many places is people are trying to rule us by fear. I refuse to be ruled by fear. I refuse to believe that some human being can take my life without God's permission. I refuse to believe that you can do anything to me unless the sovereign God who creates good and creates evil, who creates good and who creates adversity allows you to do it. And I know and I have that promise that if that is allowed, that because I love God, because I am the called according to his purpose, like every other true believer, which includes you, if you're a true believer, then all things will keep on working together for good to those that love God, to those that are the called according to his purpose, because whom he foreknew before the foundation of the world. He predestined, he marked out beforehand for you and me to become conformed to the image of his son. Oh, beloved, do you see it? Do you understand it? Do you believe this? Hebrews chapter 2, I want you to go there for just a minute. Hebrews is an absolutely awesome book. It's a book I want to teach you sometime. I want us to go through it inductively. I want you to understand it. It's unique. It's a gem. And in all of the New Testament, there's no other New Testament book like it. It holds its own unique place. In Hebrews chapter 2, it says this, "Therefore, since the children, since you and me share in flesh and blood, since you and I are human beings, since we're made of flesh, and since we have blood coursing through our veins," he says, "he himself, speaking of Jesus, likewise partook of the same. He became a human being also. That," now why did he do it? "That through death," that through his death, through his crucifixion, that through death, he might, Jesus might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Now, one of the things that you learn when you go online, you learn that Precepts for Life is a program that is designed to help you discover truth for yourself, to help you discover truth by yourself by the inductive method. By the inductive method, we mean you remove the middleman, you go straight to the Word of God, you observe and discover what it says, you interpret it, know what it means, you apply it and how you are to live, and in the process, you're transformed. You can find out about us. You can go deeper in the Word of God and in your relationship with God by simply going to our website, preceptsforlife.com. And there at Precepts for Life, what you can do is you can learn how to study the Word of God. And one of the things we tell you is to mark the text. We tell you to put a tombstone over death. So Jesus became a human being so that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So I put a red pitchfork over the devil. And what I want you to see and what I want you to understand is if you want that resurrection peace that is going to take you through any thought of impending death, and I'm talking about physical death, then if you know and understand, if you have a knowledge and an understanding of what the Word of God says, then beloved, you can have resurrection peace in the midst of death. So the first thing that I want you to see is that sin takes, that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection takes away the sting of death. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I don't know where the time goes when you and I get together because I have so much to teach you. And I think, oh, Lord, where did it go? But I want you to have this last verse in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, "When this perishable, this human body, will put on imperishable, and this mortal would have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." What is he saying? He's saying this, that when Jesus died for you, he paid for your sins in full. And because he paid for your sins in full, then when death comes to sting you, it's unable to, because the stinger was left in Jesus. He paid for your sins, precious one. You can have resurrection peace. I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing.
It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened.
Lazarus had died. Martha and Mary wept. Jesus came and said, "Your brother will rise again. Your brother will live." Why would their brother live? Their brother would live because of Jesus' words, because "I am the resurrection. I am the life." What is he saying? Lazarus believed in Jesus. And because Lazarus believed in Jesus, and because Jesus paid for Lazarus' sins and Martha's sins and Mary's sins and your sins and my sins, then Jesus had conquered death. And because he had conquered death, because he had paid for our sin in full, then death would not be able to hold us in its grip. We would live. So, beloved, what is your precept for life today? Well, first of all, it's to remember this. I ain't finished yet. I mean, I have more to teach on the fact that you can have resurrection peace because Jesus takes the sting out of death. There's more for us to learn in regard to this. But your precept for life is this: if you will believe in Jesus, if you will acknowledge that you are a sinner, but that God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to become a human being so that He on that cross might taste death for you, so that He might die in your place, so that He might die as your substitute, because the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it will die. You should have died, but Jesus says, "No, step aside. I'm going to die in your place. I'm going to pay for your sins in full. I'm going to deliver you from the power of sin, which is death. All you have to do is believe in me. Believe that I'm the Son of God. Believe that my blood was shed to pay for your sins. Believe that I was raised from the dead, and I'm the resurrection and the life. If you will believe in that, if you will receive me as your Lord, as your God, as your Savior, then I promise you that when you die, it won't be death. It'll simply be falling asleep and waking up immediately in my presence. And I'll say to you, "Welcome home, precious one. I am the resurrection. I am the life. You haven't died. You've stepped into life. Believe, receive. It's resurrection peace."
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.